This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil premieres April 30th, only on Hulu.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hey everybody, what's going on? Rob Cesternino back here for week 7 of Joe Millionaire. And I can very, very excitedly say,
and as they say in my country, it's about to get real.
Because, boy, do we have some Joe Millie to talk about here tonight. Here with no parents here, but we do have Jenny Hundredaire. Here she is. Jenny Autumn. Jenny, how are you?
I'm great. You're lucky that it's too late for me to try to invite my parents to this podcast because...
Could you imagine?
I think that it might not turn out well for me and that it might be my last podcast.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah. It's for the best.
Oh, boy.
Not quite as wild as some of these parents, but...
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I'm sure there would be some mess.
All right. I'm already getting a correction from the Martin, the butler of this podcast. Sam Moore is saying it's week 8. It's week 8 of Joe Millionaire. Is it week 8 or is it episode 8?
Because, yeah, I think the counting is weird because I think it's considered episode 8, but week 7.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Because they did a 2-hour premiere, which was considered 2 episodes, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Sam's correcting me. And I'm pretty sure it's the seventh week of Joe Millionaire and the 8th episode. Yes. Thank you. Okay. Please.
I'm very delighted about this idea of Sam Moore being the Martin, the butler.
He's ringing his bell saying, you're wrong. You're wrong. No. Yeah. No. Yes. Okay.
Now I just need to see him in an oversized butler suit, and then that's all I need.
Yeah, one of us is right, and then one of us
is not.
And it's you. All right.
Hey, Sam, you should clip this for the best of the rack.
Yes. Okay. This was, you know what? Last week, nobody's getting off easy. Last week was a dud. And I think they knew it.
Yeah.
But now, okay, we're going to bring in, you're going to meet the parents.
Yeah, I had a feeling. I think I even said this when we talked last week that I figured that it was going to get good again. We were going to get some good stuff with the parents. And
Look how excited you are.
Jenny's literally like shaking.
Yes.
Shaking with laughter. Because in my humble opinion, I think the family's delivered.
The family's delivered.
But I got enough from what I did get that this episode, we're back on an upward trajectory with Joe Millie.
Yeah, we're back.
We're back, a lot
to talk about because this was, you know, the absurdity of the Joe Millionaire concept. And then it's like, now we're going to show your parents what you're doing.
We're going to show them. I feel like there was like a behind the curtain kind of appeal to it that I don't feel like you get when, because I'm trying to think of like what other shows do they ever meet the parents?
Yeah.
And it's a little bit of The Bachelor.
Yeah. The Bachelor. There's a lot of that. A little bit of the Survivor loved ones visit. Like, come on out. Let's bring out your best friend.
Yeah. But like, they're showing them like how the sausage is made and everything. Like they're showing them like, you know, like the confessional rooms and all of that mm-hmm. stuff. So like, I feel like it felt a little bit more like broken fourth wall stuff happening mm-hmm. With like the concept of the show being explained to the parents because, you know, we don't lie to women, but we lie to their parents apparently because I don't think any of the families knew yeah. exactly what their daughters were going for, but
yeah, nobody knew what like well, we're go- I'm going to go be on a show. We don't know what it is, and I guess that they didn't know that the parents were coming, and that the parents got there. They didn't know what show their daughter was on. And oh, by the way, it's Joe Millionaire.
And there's two of them this time.
This time there's two. Ready, set, Joe.
I have to think that some of these parents are definitely familiar with the original.
I think so.
Right?
Yes. Yes. Even yeah. if they, even if their daughters, maybe the parents are familiar and the daughters
is not.
Yeah.
yeah.
yeah. And what was the original Joe Millionaire?
Don't ask.
Yeah. Okay. We don't want to talk about that.
We got more don't ask tonight.
Yeah, I mean, he basically like reset the original script from the premiere.
Yeah, you got to reuse all the greatest hits.
Yeah,
I mean, beyond the families is delivering tonight. Another thing that made this episode great for me is that I feel like we got more Martin content again.
Heavy Martin like, night. Yeah,
yeah, and that they're realizing the formula here. Mm-hmm. So yeah. that. Delighted me. We got lots of Martin. He was a fixture throughout the whole episode.
Yeah. Jenny, we have so much to go through. How has your yeah. week been for the listeners that just get to check in with you here during Joe Millionaire?
My week has been okay. Okay. It's been a little busy and I am looking forward to a long weekend. I have like a 4-day weekend coming up.
4-day weekend.
So, and today has been a big day of podcasting. Yes. So I'm just, I'm well, doing good.
This is our second podcast in a row for the yeah. Robin's Podcast patrons. You and I and Puya Zambakili talked about everything going on in the world of Celebrity Big Brother on The Slop.
Yes. I love a good slop.
Yes. It was very sloppy here yes. today. And so that was a lot of fun. And now we went right into Joe Millionaire and had a wild episode to talk about where we met all the parents. And very quickly, we got right into it, where Martin joined Stephen and Kurt at the gentleman's quarters for the first time this season. Right. We've never seen Martin. Does he buttle over there?
I mean, I don't think so. I think that his main job is to buttle for the women at the main house. And it seems like the, you know, at the gentleman's quarters, they're just fending for themselves, throwing as many eggs into an omelet as they can. And yeah. and I don't know what else goes on over there. But
mm-hmm. is that a metaphor that they have like all their eggs in just basically one omelet or two?
Well, that's certainly been Kurt. The case for Kurt.
Yeah.
yes.
Yeah. As you mentioned about how does, you know, is Martin buttling for the women? There's one point where he tells the women what's going to happen about how, well, your parents are all coming to visit. And he talks about how this house is a big mess and your parents are going to see it. And the girls are freaking out. Hold on. Back it up here for a second, buddy. Isn't this your job to clean the house? Like, what kind of mansion is this where the butler shames the people living there of, you've made a big mess here.
This is where we go back to what we talked about last week, where we're trying to figure out the role of the butler. And it obviously differs from a maid, right? Because I think that some estates have a butler and a maid. And I think the maid, and again, this is like so traditional, like gender role crap here, where it's like the maid does the cleaning, I mm-hmm. think. And I don't know, like, even though they're always wearing gloves, I don't think they're like cleaning gloves. So perhaps this isn't even part of you know, Martin's job description. Or perhaps he only does the common areas, because the common areas, like the living area where there's a couch, stuff like that, and whatever room it is with the scary portraits that they make the decisions in, like those rooms always look pretty like put together.
Pretty clean. Perhaps, yeah.
It's like they're like teenage girls with like a really messy bedroom.
Yeah.
And it, like Martin's like, I'm not touching your stuff.
Mm-hmm. No, Martin, it's time to level up. Okay. This house is in this house. We stand clean things. Bedrooms. Yes.
Yeah. What is this? A free for all?
Yes. Apparently.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it did look kind of like a disaster, but also I have to think these women are living out of suitcases.
Okay.
Because which they have to repack every couple of days. Because
you have
no
to
one
always
ever
pack
knows
your suitcase. Yeah.
Yeah. How you never know when the elimination is coming for some reason. And so, you know, I think that they're just like, you know, you've ever like stayed at a hotel and you think like, oh, I'm going to like keep the hotel so nice and neat while I'm here, but you're also living out of a suitcase. So like everything is just kind of chaotic and like there's not really a place for anything, 'cause you're not really ever settled. Mm-hmm. Perhaps that's the situation for the women here.
Yeah.
And so their clothes are just everywhere, 'cause they're just like coming in and out of suitcases all
the
time.
I don't know what the laundry situation is at Lakeshore Manor. You know, I have a, I have a friend that when he stays at the hotel, he brings a new pair of underwear and socks for every day that he's staying in the hotel. If he's going to stay in a hotel for 36 days, he has a new pair of underwear and socks for every single day. And if he runs out, he just orders more on Amazon.
Wow. What a problem solving king. I wonder
if
that
he has
could
like
be.
He has a big sack with all of the underwear and socks from 36 days at the hotel.
That I don't want to know what that sack smells like. I don't even want to think about it.
Yeah.
Also, not a sentence I ever imagined saying on a podcast or in life. Period.
Okay, so we got like some backstory from earlier in the season. Did we know that there was such a stress going on at the movie theater that Kurt and Steven had to console each other in the bathroom?
Yes, Rob. Like, I understand that this whole podcast has been like somewhat of a traumatic event for you, but you're very conveniently like blocking out memories of this experience.
I didn't know that the guys had to like help each other in the bathroom.
Because that was one of the many nights that Kurt was saying that he was going to quit.
Yeah, no, I remember that.
I'm not cut out for this. I'm really not, and I'm ready to call it quits.
Yeah.
And this all took place in the men's room of the theater.
Okay, I didn't know that.
Yes.
I didn't know that.
they have a code sign. And it's
is it
be
avocado?
No, that's a different one. I don't know. Maybe it's a different fruit.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Avocado is a fruit, right? Yeah. Broken in the bathroom, part two, which I don't want to know what that smells like.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Martin gets the women together. Ladies. Okay. Your parents are coming here. Brianna, she doesn't know some things.
Honestly, I have no clue what to accept.
Why are they making Brianna look stupid?
I don't know, and I don't appreciate it. Like, that's the only time that someone has said misspoken in the pseudo diary room.
Like, I mean, when Kurt said that Suzanne bangs her own drum. It was actually Kurt. It marches to the beat of her own drum.
Well, yeah, we apparently only make the women look stupid here.
Mm-hmm.
So, and that's a very easy word to mix up.
Yeah. Like, we didn't need to drag her for that.
I know. It's fine. Felt like that was such a weird, like, spliced in thing.
It wasn't her night.
No.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I'm very defensive of Brianna, as you know.
Yeah.
It's no secret.
Yeah. Well, you know what? So, you know, I feel like the Brianna between the producers and her parents, like a lot of people like just like undermining Brianna at every turn.
Yeah, and then everyone's like, oh, why aren't you confident?
Why doesn't she have any confidence?
Oh, like, why? Like, why?
Maybe because
what
people
are
correcting her every 2 seconds.
Yeah. Like, yeah. Just let her live her life.
Let her live her life. All right. So, all right. We hear a little bit, oh, parents are coming. Oh, I don't know how the parents are going to react. Well, we'll find out. Okay. All right. So
you think that they knew this was happening? Like, do you, like logistic question here. Let's knock down the walls here.
Okay. Break down the fourth wall.
Like in terms of how reality TV works.
Sure.
Do you not think that like the women had to have been had some idea that the parents might be involved at some point because they would have had to like give contact information for people. Don't you think?
Right. So I would say if the most charitable, a plausible, like sort of like a thing that we could say in case for them not knowing, it's like, okay, in case you are hurt, we need emergency contact info. Mm. They call up the emergency contact info and say, hey, we want you to visit. Maybe, but I would think that because now, you know, you're getting into Caro's best friend. Like, I think that they're probably asking people like, you know, if we had your loved ones come, who would you want to have come?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Did they know who was coming on what date or if they were definitely coming? No, because they didn't even know what show they were going to be on. But I kind of think that they put them in contact with people that you would want to have visit.
I feel like if I'm one of the women at this moment where it's like, I've taken the liberty of bringing your friends and family here, I'd be like, are you sure?
Mm-hmm.
You sure this is not a mistake?
Yeah.
So please know.
Yes. You think that you're saying that to yourself?
I'm saying that to Martin. Mm-hmm. I'm saying.
Yes. Are you ready? You're not ready for my relatives to come in.
No, I'm not ready to bring my crazy ass family
right
onto a television show
right
to meet these two jabronis that I'm dating, like, and I'm like their third or fourth choice. Like, I don't know. I'm just like I'm not loving that.
Yeah. Okay. Well, for Martin, it's really all about one thing that he is thinks that these dads, when they find out that their dad, that their daughter that is on a show where she's dating two guys, that these dads, what are they going
to
think?
I'm telling you right now, dads go to a very dark place when it comes to their daughters.
Yeah.
One of the best things about this episode is like Martin is literally trying to instill as much fear as possible into these men. Like he goes from like the supportive, like wingman type of person to being like, this is terrifying and you're going to mess it up. And I can't believe that you're in this position. Like he's egging the anxiety on in these guys.
Yes.
So
with
funny.
All of the eggs at the gentleman's quarters.
Yes.
But not for anything that I don't know, you know, what year they pulled Martin out of, but he seems to have this like kind of a dated concept of like what romantic relationships might look like, where I have some news for Martin that I have a feeling that probably some of these women may have been seeing two men at the same time in real life.
What?
Martin, I'm just saying. I think it happens sometimes. I think that
maybe some
of these women might be talking to two suitors at the same time.
This can only possibly happen under the confines of Joe Millionaire and Lake Shasta Manor, where one of them is rich and one of them is
not.
Not as rich.
Is not. Yes. There's never a scenario where these women might be talking to multiple gentlemen at the same time.
If only when you're like swiping through Twitter or not Twitter, Tinder, when you're like looking at, you're like, oh, these two potential matches here. It's like, how much more interesting does it get if you know one of them has a lot of money and the other one doesn't, and you don't know which one? Like, mm-hmm. that could just make that whole situation a lot more fun, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
To glean, like, from, like, the photos on their Tinder profile.
Right. Where you're talking to, like, there's no way that any person could ever imagine themselves in a situation where you're talking to more than one person and at least one of them, maybe both, is not exactly upfront about what there's really going on in their life. Yeah.
Also, it's like they're not the only person that these guys are dating. I felt like that part just got like yada yada. It was like such a big deal. It's like she's dating both of us. And it's like, yeah. And also like six other girls are she's like in the mix with that. Like, we're not even going to talk about that part being weird. Like that. She's like competing for you. That's not the weird part. It's the weird part that she's entertaining connections with the both of you. It's only okay, like, if you're dating the multiple women, but it's like not okay for them to be dating both of you at the same time. Like, what?
Yeah, that's right.
Don't ask.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Jenny, let's introduce all of the parents that yes. are coming in. Boy, not since Ben Stiller got to meet Robert De Niro has there been this much anticipation to meet the parents.
Who do you think the Fockers are of tonight? I have a few thoughts.
Well, in terms of like being intimidating presences, there really weren't too many. Maybe Ivan.
Yeah, and I would say maybe like Annie's dad.
But Annie's dad really wasn't that intimidating. Really,
he's just very stone faced.
Yeah, he was like sort of like a stick in the mud, which we don't really appreciate at Lakeshore Manor. But
yeah,
okay.
We're here to have fun.
We're here to have fun. Okay. So, all right. So here we go. Here's the order. So we are going to bring in Scott and Jill Jordanson. They are here to see Annie.
Yeah. And I did not feel like they were very impressed. Scott, there was a point where they come in. Annie's dad already looks like he's not right. happy to be here.
Like,
this is exactly the kind of dad that Martin was like anticipating here. And then Martin ringing the bell, like, I honestly thought that Annie's dad was going to murder him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they didn't seem too impressed with the bell. Also, that Martin lets them know that these two gentlemen are dating your daughter, but...
I'm absolutely not dating Annie. I just want to make that clear, all right?
Jokes
Martin
for days.
A comedian. Yeah. Like he came all even before they came in, like when the guys were like, oh yeah, it's like so much better that it's just like, it's two of us. And like, Martin's like, how is this better? Like, why do you think this is better? Like, he's just like ribbing like the crap out of those. Yeah. He was on.
Okay. So we have Tony and Suzanne who come in, who are now Whitney's parents and sort of the antithesis of the Scott and Jill. Because Whitney, yes. I do believe, said like, oh, my dad is going to be very intimidating before anybody got there. I had written that down. Whitney says her parents are scary. Not the words that I would use, because Whitney's parents seemed like that they were there to party at Lakeshore Manor.
See, I'm curious whether like this is like a Wordle situation where like if you, you know, like rotate a few of the letters from scary, it's like maybe the actual word that she wanted to use was
almost, you could say crazy.
Crazy.
Mm. Yes. If you spell it wrong.
Yeah.
If you spell
like,
it
okay,
wrong.
The A is in the word, the Y.
Yeah, actually, it's crazy with a Z, Brianna. Like, all right, sorry, okay. I'll take it again.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, no, Whitney's parent, like, Whitney's dad is a riot, like, right off the top.
Yeah.
You know, and he, spoiler alert, keeps that energy.
Yeah. He's like, hey, what are you guys doing here? Date my daughter, you sons of bitches.
Really lightens the mood after stiff man Jorgensen came in.
God, maybe just compared to Scott Jorgensen.
Yeah, that's the juxtaposition of it all. It's just like,
yeah,
this guy's wild compared to Scott.
Yeah. We're going to see a lot of Tony here in this episode. Even Martin's impressed with Tony.
Well, he's a bit of a live wire, isn't he?
Live wire. Live wire Tony. Okay.
All right. To put it.
The guys refer to Whitney as Switzerland, which sounds cute until they, you know, I don't know if Tony ever realized that. Yeah, she's the only person that we both have hooked up with.
Yeah, I was going to say, is there some sort of skiing joke?
Up.
Oh, he's a bit of a live wire, isn't he?
Yeah.
I'm just trying to match Whitney's dad's energy.
Yes. Okay. Well, well done. You're right there.
I'm here to party.
You're here to party. Okay. Amber's dad and brother come in. And so it's they're both spelt Ivan, but there's different pronunciations.
One of them is Iwan. It's Ivan and Iwan, I think.
Okay. All right.
And I think Ivan is the father.
Okay. So he comes in. He's all business.
Yes. And Martin was not sure if he was breathing. Because he walks in and like the guys like introduce themselves and he's like silent the whole time. Mm-hmm. Like we're just getting some close shots of him just like completely silent.
Yeah. I think Martin was hoping for one of these dads to be like, what in the Sam Hill did you just say? My daughter is dating two guys.
Let me get my shotgun.
Yeah. The hell she is. Yeah. Amber, yeah, get down here. We're leaving.
I mean, that's what he was preparing them for. He's like, they will murder. It's like, oh my God.
I have some bad news. Your daughter is dating two guys. What?
Wait till you find out the rest.
Yes.
That she had, shall we say, the hots.
Okay, so
I have one more thing to say.
Yes,
I loved Amber's brother's outfit. Like, did it not look like he was like trying out for like the next Martin the Butler? Like, I felt like his outfit was like
very classy,
very formal,
very dapper. Yeah. Yes, yes, he was ready to move into Lakeshore Manor. Okay, we have Hope. That's Cal's mom. She doesn't really bring much to the table here other than, I guess, that the Cala code is somewhat cracked with Mom Miranda.
Yes. Yeah. She's the hope of it all. Like, she's the hope to crack the Cala code. Yeah. No, I didn't really get a lot from her personality, more so just that Cala apparently just becomes more comfortable around her. And that is something that the guys have been really looking for. The one notable thing that I loved from Hope's introduction is when Martin is seeing them off to like explore the Lakeshore Manor, Martin pulls like the ultra smooth, like, oh, please take your sister. I mean your mother.
Yeah.
Like Martin is straight up hitting on Calla's mom.
What is Martin's dating status? He says he has a father. Yes, but it doesn't mean anything.
I know exactly that. We know that he has kids, but we don't know if he is shacked up with somebody.
Martin.
Well, he lives in this house.
Yeah. Yeah. So. Are you playing the field right now?
Don't ask. Okay.
We don't know.
Listen, they're like, he's just playing the game too. It's like a side quest for him.
Yeah. All right. So yeah, maybe he was hoping to get some mom's numbers.
He was hoping for some hope.
Yeah. Hoping for hope. Yeah. Cause I mean, didn't show up with a date.
Yeah. It was a solo hope.
Mm-hmm.
So that was why he decided to shoot his shot there. He's like, okay, this is the first single lady walking in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. He's going to go for it. Okay. So then we get to Alex, Caro's best friend. Mm-hmm. What'd you think of this guy?
He's a character.
Yep.
I mean, definitely like one of the, you know, the visitors that had like the most personality.
Mm-hmm.
But I was just like, uh-oh, not family. Cause I was wondering when they said, you know, your friends and family are coming. So I was like, oh, is it going to be like a bunch of people? But this is, you know, I saw the red flag right away where I was like, listen, one of Kurt's biggest issues with Carolyn is trying to figure out what life looks like with her outside of here and like the family situation and all of that stuff. And we get her best friend.
I wonder maybe like, did she have a parent that was watching her kid maybe, or is the kid with the ex-husband during all of this?
Well, apparently the ex-husband is like very involved in the co-parenting. So I have to believe that, you know, that wasn't necessarily the factor here, but I do think that that's like a big disadvantage in this whole situation. So as soon as I saw that it was Carolyn had her best friend there, I was like, oh, this is not going to be good. It's not going to be good. Okay. And that's not any shade on Alex himself. He was fun. But I was like, this is not when everyone else is meeting the actual families. I don't know.
We'll see. Brianna's dad is here. Brianna's parents kind of suck, right?
Yeah. I mean, I didn't get great feelings.
Yeah.
I think maybe the whole situation was maybe uncomfortable and they all, I get the impression that like they don't talk about their feelings with each other. And instead there's like a lot of like passive aggressive things that kind of happen. I don't know. That was like the feeling I got where it's like, there's maybe just a little discomfort there.
Yeah, Dee Dee is the mom. I didn't get the dad's name.
No, I didn't get it either.
Okay.
Didn't really have anything to say.
All right. Let's talk about one of the other breakout parents from the episode. And we meet Amanda's mom, who I believe is Debbie. She tells the guys up front.
You see this face? Yeah. This is a clear future of what Amanda's going to look like.
Okay.
I mean, maybe she's just like, get it out front, where it's just like, if you don't like me, then like, you might as well back off now because this is your future.
Yeah. Why would you say that?
Why would you say that?
I think maybe Debbie is just very proud of like how good she looks.
You see
her
my face.
you're
looking into a time machine.
This costs a lot of money, but I won't tell you how much.
You want to know how much?
Don't ask.
Where's Debbie?
No, Debbie was incredible. I was obsessed with her from the moment she walked through that door.
Yeah. Okay. So those Queen. Are all the parents. All right. So let's go to a big dinner party. Okay. Where we're finally going to tell the parents what is going on. I guess the kids were not allowed to tell their parents what they, why are there two guys here?
And I mean, well, they went and yeah, I don't know when they went off and like showed them the mansion. Like, I don't think that they were allowed to tell the parents anything more.
Like, what is this show?
Don't know.
Right.
I don't know. Like we already got the point of there's two of them. So I don't know why we had to hold off on this other part, but I also love that this was another moment of Martin just like trying to scare the shit out of these two guys, being like, well, what do you think they're going to think when they find out that one of you is rich and the other one is not so rich?
Yeah. Yeah. It's like if I was Kurt, I was like, well, why are you trying to make me feel bad about myself?
Martin stays like digging in at Kurt being like, well,
yeah. What do you think that the women are going to say when they find out that one of you is not so rich? I was like, all right, well, at least I'm not a butler.
Yeah. What do you bring to the table?
Maybe
not a woman. Stacks of cash.
I wouldn't think that a woman would want to marry someone who's not worth a lot of money. It's like, well, somebody married you, Martin.
You definitely couldn't afford me as your butler.
Yeah.
I'll tell you that much.
I wouldn't work for someone who wasn't worth that kind of money.
You probably can't even afford the intercom system.
It's a lot of money shaming that goes on this show.
Yeah. Martin's just trying to get paid.
Yeah. Okay. So Martin does like, is going to do like a whole reset later on in the night. I thought that this was pretty wild. So everybody's partying. Everybody's having fun. Jenny, did you catch this? That there is a toast that happens here with the residents of Lakeshore Manor.
Strong women that support each other. I love it.
Okay. To strong women who support each other, of course. That is what goes on here at Lakeshore Manor.
The moral of this show is...
It's about women supporting women.
Yeah. As they talk shit about each other for dating the same guys.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Last week...
But also supporting.
Last week, we literally saw the women conspiring to set up a date while they tricked one of the other women... And then, so the other woman could steal the date when she wasn't looking.
But here's the thing. I actually do think that most of these women do get along and do support each other. Because
just not Caroline.
Really the only storyline we're getting of any conflict between the girls is all about Caroline.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So maybe the overarching storyline is women supporting women, just not this
Caroline.
Woman.
Yeah.
Just not that woman.
Yeah. Okay. Caroline, speaking of the devil, she's
a little harsh, Rob.
No, I don't mean that. I just mean to figure, as they say in my country, speak of the devil. And that she's telling Alex that, okay, she... shall we say, has the hots for Kurt, which is fine with Alex.
I'll take the other one, though, if he's, feeling froggy and wants to leave.
Okay. Feeling froggy.
Froggy.
Yeah. What does that mean? Feel like what? I'm trying to understand the context. A frog in his throat?
Is froggy a synonym?
As they say in my country, if he's feeling froggy...
Is that a synonym for the dreaded H word? And
is that something that frogs do?
Oh my God. Okay. Well, I just looked up feeling froggy on Urban Dictionary.
Yeah.
Feeling froggy usually means that you feel horny.
Oh, like a horny toad.
Horny toad. I guess maybe that's where it came from. It's used by people like Tigger, who was obviously very not okay. That's what
I didn't know. That Tigger, Tigger was the H word? He's bouncing all over the place.
Yeah. Oh, boy.
Yeah.
I'll take the other one, though, if he's, you know, feeling froggy and wants to leave.
Okay. Shall we say, is he feeling froggy?
That's just like, when I think of like a frog, I think of like jumping from like lily pad to lily pad.
Maybe, perhaps.
So maybe.
Jenny, would you prefer if instead of the H word, if you people were feeling froggy?
No. My problem? Okay. It's terrible. It's the worst. It's actually so bad. So my problem with the H word is not the simple usage of the H word. It's the earnest use of it. When people use it seriously and think that that's like a sexy way to describe a feeling, because it sounds so juvenile to me. And I think that froggy is even worse. It's like, If a man told me earnestly that he was feeling froggy, I would be like, you need to get that checked out. I don't know what that means. I don't know.
Hi, old Jenny.
No.
Has anybody seen Steven lately?
Oh, Jesus. Oh, my gosh.
I'd like to see if he wants to go back to the lily pad.
Oh, this is not easy being on this podcast.
Okay. All right. So, boy, Martin was so on tonight. He was, you know, he had an audience. He was up in front of the crowd, locked in, jokes for days.
First, I ask you what I ask myself every day. What kind of parents let their daughters do this?
I mean, kind of a roast of the parents at this point.
He's the roast master. He would be an excellent wedding MC. Like, I'm telling you, if any of these people end up together and get married and Martin isn't their MC at the wedding, like, missed opportunity. What are you doing? Mm-hmm. Like, this is Martin's night to shine. It's truly the roast of everyone on the show. Including the parents.
Yeah. Okay. And he doesn't even know what kind of parents would let their daughters come here. Of course, one of these guys is worth $10 million and the other
is not.
Okay. I mean, ooh.
This is really a great night for him because, like, he gets to do his favorite thing all over again. Like, all of these great lines that he got out in his first episode, he's very excited to pull the shocker out again.
Yep. Okay. So we see a lot of one-on-ones going on, but we start to learn something, a big secret about one of the ladies of Lakeshore Manor. And it's Amanda, who we find out doesn't need money from Joe Millionaire, because Amanda has her own money.
Yes. So I think Martin said something about, like, you look like you're sitting on $10 million. And then Amanda's mom goes, we are. Which was like, okay. So yeah, apparently Amanda has like a trust fund from her grandfather.
No, Jenny. So this is so wild because it is incredible because that it's not just Amanda. We also had Jenny in this season who had received a $13 million settlement. And so I don't know if this is like part of the creative that they decided not to highlight, but this is incredible that there are not one, but two women on the show that are worth more than the guy who is the Joe Millionaire.
I know.
That for Kurt, I don't know if this was something that they told them in the beginning of the show where it's like, and for you, Kurt, what's in it for you is that there are two women who are actually, their net worth is more than $10 million. And if they fall in love with you, you'll be a millionaire too. That's a better show.
Yes, missed opportunity. Like, add some layers to this.
And my question is here, this is the missing puzzle piece. Does this all fit in? Did they tell Kurt that? Did Kurt know about Amanda? Because look, we know, oh, Amanda's fun. But could this be the reason why Kurt is keeping Amanda around for so long?
I don't think so. I actually genuinely think that Amanda is fun and he does really like her, but I mean, he might glean some of this stuff from conversations. Like, I'm sure stuff about like people's lives come up, and like maybe he did have a little bit of indication that Amanda has money. I don't know. And I have to think that Jenny's money came up at some point too, right?
I don't know, but Jenny was more with Steven, and Steven's like, well, I don't need her.
I don't think that once you have money, like, you don't want to get more money.
Maybe Steven doesn't want to be with somebody that has more money than him.
Yeah, that's true. He wants to be the breadwinner.
Maybe he heard she had $13 million. He's like, I can't be with somebody that has $13 million.
Yeah.
If it was nine, I'd consider it.
If you need to donate $4 million of that, then we'll talk.
I can't be, with somebody with their own $13 million.
What I will say is I don't think that Kurt necessarily knew this about Amanda and that it was, you know, playing a huge part in his interest in Amanda before.
Mm-hmm.
However.
Yeah.
I have to think that maybe, you know, sweetens the deal or the pot a little bit for him.
Well, we are going to see like one-on-ones with all the parents. And so when Kurt and Steven are at the table with Debbie and Amanda, here comes Debbie with this bombshell.
How would you feel about my daughter having more than $10 million?
Yeah, my daughter is worth more than $10 million. How about that? What do you think of that? Put that in your pipe and smoke it.
I love this from Demi.
Yeah.
She's worth more than both of you combined.
Yeah. She's worth more than 10 mil. What do you think of that? Hot shot.
And I love that, like, Amanda was just like,
oh my God.
Really?
Oh my God. Mom, stop it. Why are you talking about this? Because then all of a sudden, like, now Kurt is like, yeah, money is not important to me. I don't care about money. It's like he's one of the women, and he's dating Joe Millionaire.
I don't know. Yeah.
It's a wild twist.
It is. Like, he's now like, oh, okay, well, I'm not the richest person here anymore. This whole experience was about, like, you know, people finding out that I have money, and like, that's the big twist of the season. But no, sorry.
Yeah.
You're actually not the richest person here. And Kurt's going to be the real winner.
Kurt could be the real winner.
Yeah.
He could win.
Yeah. I mean, that's a great story though.
Mm-hmm.
And again, like, you're right. I don't know why they didn't lead with that, but.
Isn't that wild?
Mm-hmm.
Like, why are we only finding out about this in week 7, Sam?
Do you think that, because Amanda seems very like, she even says in like a confessional, she's like, I don't lead with this. I don't, like, you know, there's a lot more to me than the money I have. And I don't want that to be like a thing that people like attribute to me. So is it possible that it just never even came up in casting? And, you know, it's not something that she talks about, but when Amanda's parents, you know, Amanda's family gets there and the like big twist of like one of them has $10 million, and like Amanda's mom is kind of defensive, but, like, we have more than that.
I don't know. Jenny, like, there were 16 women. What were the chances that two of them were worth more than the guy that we built the whole show around, Joe Millionaire, at $10 million?
I have to think that they just, like, they found out about it too late and they didn't know how to, like, I don't know. Because it's like,
it can't be a coincidence.
It seems, I don't know, maybe people are just doing, like, they're saying that millennials have no money, but I'm feeling pretty bad about myself because I just found out, like, there was a 2 in 16 chance. That,
two of the women that we know of.
Yeah. Who knows how much some of these others have.
I mean, what are the chances that two random single women were worth more than Joe Millionaire that we built the whole show around?
I don't know, but this show called me broke tonight and I didn't appreciate it.
How does it feel to know that there are women out there that have money and there are others who are not?
That's me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, all right, we get to some other parts of the Inquisition. Okay. And we see Alex is interrogating Kurt pretty hard. Alex came in here. He's playing bad cop to everybody.
Yeah. And he's also, I think, hamming it up for the camera a little bit.
I'm sorry. You know what, Ed, I'm getting Alex confused with. So Alex is interrogating Kurt, but Alex only interrogates Kurt. He wants to know why. Why do you want to be with Caro? Why Kurt?
Yeah, and Kurt does not have a very good answer. Mm-hmm. He's just like, it's just a feeling and nothing more. Mm-hmm. And which was ridiculous to me because Carolyn's like, oh, you're always so good with your words, which I was like, is that a roast? Or because it seemed sincere. And I was like, that would make me feel like shit. Like, if literally the only thing that you can say about, like, why you're interested in me is it's just a feeling and that's it. It's like, that's all you have to say. You're literally saying that's it. Like, you better have a freaking soliloquy of, like, things that you love about me. You're just going to say it's a feeling. You can't even, like, define anything you like about me. Mm-hmm. That's pretty telling.
Right. That's right.
I mean, it's absolutely accurate for the situation, mm-hmm. but, like, how does that make you feel good?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
How is that not a red flag to her? I mean,
mm-hmm.
she's not concerned with and that, also, I guess. I don't know.
Later reveals he knows absolutely nothing about Caro.
Yes, exactly. Literally nothing. It's like, yeah, that statement said it all. It's just a feeling, and that's it.
Mm-hmm.
Literally. Yeah.
Well, they don't talk about anything else except for, like, the drama around them. Like, they don't talk at all about what they have in common or anything like that. It's like, why aren't you talking to me? Why are you talking to all these other women? What's going on? Are we good? What's happening?
Does Kurt even know her son's name? Like, I don't even know if they've
had... I bet he does.
Are you sure? I'm not sure.
I'm not sure. I wouldn't bet on it, but...
No.
I did say I bet he does, but I wouldn't bet...
Then that's about it.
I would bet... my money.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You can bet Amanda's family.
Yeah,
money.
I don't have Amanda's family money.
Yeah.
Okay. So, I kind of thought that maybe Amber might have been the one to go home in this episode because they made such a big deal. Like, they opened on Amber talking about how, like, she's hoping she wants romance. Then her family came in and her family was, like, really, like, not having too much fun. And the guys were like, hey, I thought it was supposed to be fun. I didn't know that her dad was going to come in and be like totally not fun.
I feel exactly the same, Rob. I thought that we were getting a telegraphed Amber Boot episode. In fact, I actually texted Sam and said, this is an Amber Boot. Because we got so much content of being like, all of the conversations have been serious. And like, we're looking for like to see the light and fun side of her. And I just felt like it was very much outlined that they didn't get that experience from her in front of her family, which like understandably, like it's like a very weird situation that they're in. And, you know, I just thought that it was just we got so much Amber content that it seemed to make the most sense that she would go here, but
no, she's going to survive the night.
And I thought it was like,
she got to meet Steven's mom.
Yeah, that's true. It was just so awkward where like they were asking like Steven, you know, what's important to him and a woman. And he just like, it's like he had like verbal diarrhea and all he knew what to say was like independent. Yeah, just someone, a woman who's independent and has a lot of independence, and independence is real important to me. It's like, okay, we get it, dude. Like,
yeah,
he's very nervous.
Also that Amber's dad was like the only parent that seemed not know who the real millionaire was. So yeah. like a lot of the parents like, yeah, oh no, Steven's definitely a millionaire. Oh,
it's Steven,
yeah,
for sure.
He was the only person that was like, oh yeah, Kurt. It's Kurt.
Probably just because he wasn't impressed with Steven.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Just like,
yeah, he's got a ponytail. He's rich. Yeah. I know it. I knew it. Okay. Jenny, let's get back to talking about Debbie. Because Debbie, yes, in addition to dropping the, do you know how much my daughter is worth? Also, she has another question for these guys. A hard-hitting question.
Obviously, very you guys are in good shape and, I don't know, working out or whatever. So, you guys got good stamina?
You guys got good stamina?
How's your stamina?
The stamina is not a problem?
Can you imagine? Like,
I cannot.
there's a gif on Twitter of like the reaction to this moment, and Steven is furiously shaking his head no, and Kurt is saying, I'm a thoroughbred, which I vomited in my mouth immediately upon hearing that.
You guys got stamina?
How's your stamina?
I regularly do 3-hour podcasts, ma'am.
What number is that today?
Yeah. Ma'am, this is my 4th podcast today.
It's stamina for days. Talk your ear off.
We call it podcast stamina.
Oh, my God.
Steven, absolutely not. No way. Do not.
It's a first to win the race, and I always win. You don't need stamina, right? I mean, it doesn't take long. I mean, I can recover fast.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I learned.
Why are you so much?
I'm telling you, they're hammered at this point, Rob. Okay, I saw the champagne glasses, the big wine glasses. Everything was getting refilled. Every scene, there was a new, fresh fill. Like this is like the drinking to get through the anxiety of meeting multiple families in one night. Like, and also, I think it's one of those things where like, Amanda's family is obviously like one of like the cooler, more down to earth ones. Yeah. And I think that they're like, you know, oh, like let's let it a little bit loose. Like you literally just got asked about your stamina. So Steven's like, okay, I'll meet you at your level. And I am just going to share way too much information. Like, I guess for him, it's kind of like there's no downside here because he's not trying to get with Amanda. So he's like, maybe, yeah, I can make an ass of myself here.
Yeah, but can we just go back to what he says here?
So first to win the race, and I always win.
First to win the race, I always win.
So what he's saying here, Rob,
yes,
is that he finishes the race first every time.
Mm-hmm.
And that also he always wins. So in his mind, finishing the race first means you have won.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that there's a little bit of a flaw in this line of thinking in this type of race.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. But whatever, Steven.
You don't need stamina, right? I mean, it doesn't take long. I mean, I can recover faster.
Yeah.
Kurt's just like, yeah, shut the hell up, dude. Man. You're just making this so awkward, man.
Yeah. So, you know, Steven has told us a little bit about himself on a couple of occasions this season. So we had that. We also combined that with remember back in the first episode when he went in the pool late night?
This is a horrible first impression for me. I should have kept my jeans on.
Is Steven, you think that maybe like Steven's like, hey, that's my thing. I'm going to be very self-deprecating here on television.
Listen, it works sometimes. Like if it's done right, it can be very fun and like, you know, make someone endearing. But I think he's going a little too far where he's literally like, I will be very quick. I will make this as brief as possible, ma'am.
Mm-hmm.
Don't worry, I recover quickly.
Yes. Okay. Bounces back. He's feeling froggy.
I guess I can see what, but here's the thing is like, it is a weird question. First of all, it is a weird question for Amanda's mom to be asking in general.
No doubt.
That is a very strange thing to ask someone upon meeting them for the first time.
Right.
In front of your daughter that they are both dating, I guess, even though it's really only Kurt.
But yeah.
Beyond it just being a weird ass thing to ask somebody, it didn't really make sense in within the context where she said, I expect 5 to 6 grandchildren.
Right. So maybe all in one night.
Yeah, like I kind of understand where Steven's coming from here, where he's like,
oh boy.
Well, I mean, if you're just looking for grandchildren, yes. Like the stamina part isn't really the necessary part of the whole equation, right? Like,
Yeah,
that's the point there.
Yeah, that's like fair enough. Like, yeah, stamina like does not really need to be part of the equation.
Yeah, like. I mean, I don't need to fill in these blanks.
Yeah.
Fill in the blanks.
How's the stamina? I need 5 grandchildren.
Stat.
I was like, will not be a problem, ma'am. When?
How quickly do you want them in succession?
Yeah. Okay. So that's Debbie. Okay. Then we go to Brianna's table and, this is like, it's just awkward. The parents saying like, yeah, she was a good kid until college. Then not so much. Yeah. We know Brianna has a binge drinking thing. We got it. Yeah. We know this.
Yeah. There was like a lot of uncomfortable content here. We started off very awkwardly in that, like, it was acknowledged that no one knows how to say her name.
Like,
and we didn't get an answer.
Mom and Dad. You gave her this name. Like, you decided.
Like,
you told her what the name was.
And I can't even. And honestly, we've been switching how we say it. Like, at least I know. Because I sometimes question, is it Brianna or Brianna? And so I can't even remember which one they said. But, like, Steven called out that they say it differently. Mm-hmm. And then he's like, we've been calling her Brianna. And then they said, we call her Bina.
Yeah, I have that here.
Well, but no. I call her Bina.
Bina that doesn't like beans.
Bina that doesn't like beans. Why are you telling your daughter's suitors this?
Listen, like, not liking beans is, like, the least weird thing that, like, these parents were saying about their daughters. This was one of the least embarrassing things said about them.
Yeah.
Bina that doesn't like beans.
Yeah, but you know, if you do want to embarrass your kids in front of the date, like, tell them what foods they don't like.
Yeah.
Don't give Whitney any beans also, by the way.
Yeah, definitely don't give.
Yeah,
her dad is full of beans.
Yeah,
that's what I can say about that.
Yeah.
Yeah, this was weird, and I felt like, you know, Brianna's family definitely does that, like, our way of getting along with you is poking fun.
Yeah, we're going to embarrass our daughter.
Which I actually find, like, I found, like, sort of relatable. Like, I feel like there's been times where, like, my mom has, like, you know, kind of just, like, decided that, oh, my way of, like, bonding is, like, to just, like, make fun of Jenny. And it's just, like, I had this, again, I'm always relating to Brianna. I was just, like, yeah, like, this isn't really the avenue where I want to become, like, the punching bag where you're just, like, telling them that, like, I was terrible in college. Like,
Yeah. But. All right. Well, the families got a chance to talk to and grill Stephen and Kurt. But now it's time for the tables to turn.
Yes.
Uh-oh. Uh-oh. So there's some hard-hitting questions from the guys.
Did you notice the corny, like, Joe Millionaire presents Grill My Parents?
Yeah.
I was like, what is happening here? Like, this is a different show now?
And I think these questions are like, we're on like the Newlywed Game.
Yeah.
Okay. If your daughter came with a warning label, what would the label be? Okay. Well, I forget which person's daughter says, you're going to lose a hand if you bite something. Okay. I didn't really know. No. Did you get that one?
I thought, is this the one about when?
No.
Oh, no. Was something...
Okay.
Oh, I don't know who.
I don't know. Then we got a little bit of a montage. So let's go to Debbie. All right, Debbie, what warning label should Amanda come with?
Slippery when wet.
Okay.
The wetter, the better.
Right here.
That's what I've heard.
Don't tell Shayna Mookler's boyfriend. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. We don't need to explore that. Okay.
This is weird. It's like if my parents were talking about me like that.
Yeah. All right. Well, gosh. Whitney. Whitney's parents. Whitney's dad. The famous, what's his name? Tony.
Tony.
Tony, I think, has been overserved Brianna style because this is what Tony says about Whitney.
You better not cross her.
Okay.
Well, mm-hmm. Do something down there that you're not going to like. I'm just saying, you're not going to like it. You know what happens down there?
Yeah, no, I don't. What is she going to do?
I don't know.
Is this like a Lorena Bobbitt situation? Yeah,
is this a biting? Is there some sort of I don't even know what he was insinuating. Is there a weapon involved? Yes, we can assume that he is talking about, he said down there.
He's
talking about some sort of nether.
It's like, you know what happens down there, right? Yeah. Yeah. Yes.
Like, in my country, as they say,
You know, when you're like, feeling froggy.
I don't know what you're talking about. Please. Yeah.
Let's listen one more time.
Better not cross her.
Okay.
Well, dude.
Because that was fine. You better not cross her. All right. We got it.
Okay,
We got it. But he just keeps going.
Something down there that you're not going to like.
Oh.
I'm just saying, you're not going to like it. You know what happens down there?
Kurt is laughing a little too much.
This is a very awkward. I
think nervous laughter coming from Kurt here. Like, what is happening?
You're not going to have a lot of stamina after that. Because you know what happens down there.
You know what it is.
It's the down there. The thing.
You're not going to like it.
You're not going to like it. You know.
And even filling in the blanks of the various things that Tony might mean here.
You're not shooting blanks, are you?
Not with my daughter.
Not with my daughter. Are you virile?
Oh no.
Your boys can swim.
Get in the pool. And not in your jeans.
You wearing boxers or briefs? briefs can be very constraining because you know what happens down there, right? You know.
Everyone knows you what know. Happens down there.
That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah. No, this is, we need Tony and Debbie to collaborate.
Mm-hmm.
They could have been working off each other's material all night. Why didn't they put their tables closer?
Yeah, I don't know. Well, maybe Tony's wife, who really does not speak the entire Suzanne.
Yeah, I wonder why. She's probably, her mouth was on that wine glass all night, just trying to get through it all.
I think her mouth was on the floor. I was like, oh my God. Can you believe he's doing it again?
Not again.
Well, you know. Okay.
But like, why is he saying this about his daughter? Like, what the fuck?
I don't know what happened previously.
What does he know?
Mm-hmm.
What
mm-hmm.
what story? Like, has Amanda been, or not Amanda, has Whitney been arrested for, like, assaulting somebody? Like, what happened?
She did win the best adapted screenplay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So she's a straight shooter.
I mean, there was a thing about her being gassy. So do you think when he's talking about she's going to do something down there you don't like, do you think that actually we're making this more sexual than it actually is intended?
You think it's going
to
be like sort of like a Lamar to Todrick Hall situation?
Yeah, or like just a Lamar to the bed situation. Like, oh, no. Yeah, you piss her off. That she's sharting in the bed.
I don't know.
I can't believe. I don't know why I brought this over to this podcast.
Slippery when wet.
No.
Slip and slide.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Why would you say that in front of everyone?
Literally me to myself every time we do this podcast. Why would you say that?
Okay. Why? All right. So then what's the worst thing your daughter has done to an ex? We get the story about Amber. She took a man and took everything he owned and put it in a box to the left.
Yep.
Yes. Everybody stands up, applauds Amber. Well, that we've got a story to top that. Brianna.
It wasn't even a bad story. She's like, he cheated on her and she kicked him out.
Yeah, and he cried. And he cried. And yeah. Everybody clapped. Okay. Yeah. But Brianna, tell the story. Tell the story of the thing that you did. Like, okay, all right, here we go. So, and Brianna's like, you're not telling it right.
Yeah.
Let me, I gotta say the story. Okay, so we went, we got a fish, a dead fish, and left it on some guy's doorstep.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, all right. I mean, this sounds like, this is like, you know, grocery delivery at this point, right? This is like Instacart. Yeah.
Yeah.
Pick me up a fish.
Here's your dead fish.
Here's your dead fish. But apparently that I think the guy got like the turned it around on her because he called the police and said that this is like sent like an intimidating message. Like you're sleeping with the fishes.
Well, apparently the sign that they left with it said, I'll catch you later, which was supposed to be like a fishing joke,
right?
Which I assume is just like, so Brianna's from a small country town, so mm-hmm. I'm just like, this is just normal.
Yeah.
That's how they say in the country, not in but their country.
First off, like, this was a bad prank. Like, what? I don't know, like, you get like take a, like a fish and you don't leave it on somebody's door. Like, you throw it in their car and like and hide it, and they get in their car like
What
does that smell? Oh, what does my car smell? Like, or leave it. You leave it in their house. Like, you don't just like that. What is that? That's like, that's nothing. You left a fish, and then because she
it's
did
outside.
That, yeah, they left. Then the guy got her in trouble for doing that.
It's not like it's flaming dog poop on your step,
right?
Like step that you're gonna have to stomp out to like get out. It's just a dead fish on your doorstep. Yeah.
Is that a fish on my doorstep?
Did you know that the part where Brianna says that apparently leaving a fish on someone's doorstep means that they're going to kill you?
No, that doesn't mean that.
Are you sure? Like, Urban Dictionary this?
I'm pretty sure. Like, if you leave a horse's head in somebody's bed, it means I'm going to kill you. But it's like, and you could tell somebody you're going to sleep with the fishes, but right. Nobody in the history of, like, let me get Nicole up here, who's seen every episode of The Sopranos.
Right.
They yes. never, to intimidate somebody, gave them a fish. In fact, that's like you do something nice for somebody. Here's a fish.
Yeah, like, honestly, in Brianna's town, like, this could have just been, like, they went fishing earlier and, like, they left you a fish. Mm-hmm. Like, they caught this fish for you. Oh, shoot, it started rotting before you were able to get it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, yeah, I think that they were, like, whoever she had the breakup with was just, like, then it was, like, okay, I'm going to get her back. I'm telling the police. She threatened me. She's going to get arrested for this.
Which, like, yeah, so she got, the cops came, there was probably some sort of interrogation. And, like, again, I feel bad for Brianna because obviously, like, you know, greatly discussed that she has, like, some insecurity and confidence issues. And, like, her parents spend the entire time that they're there just, like, roasting her mm-hmm. and, like, saying, like, and the things that she did aren't even that bad. Like, she left a fish on somebody's doorstep and then
tell the story.
It's yeah. such a wild story. And the other thing was, like, oh, she was good until college, and then that's when the skinny dipping started. It's just like mm-hmm. this must be the most wholesome ass small town that she lives in, that the worst thing this girl has done is gone skinny dipping and left a dead fish on a guy's doorstep. Mm-hmm. Like, what?
Yeah. All right. And then they say, why is your loved one ready for love now? And that's when Alex, like, gives, like, the speech, like, Caro has been through the ups and downs. She's ready. She's ready now. I think it was Whitney who said,
why would you say that in front of everyone?
Which is hilarious because that we got the same reaction after Caro told everybody that she was going to be the person that Kurt picked and everybody else was allowed to
date
him.
Why would you say that?
I mean, it's a theme. These women are done with this.
With Caro, yeah.
Yeah.
Amber's a queen. She deserves a king. Debbie says, Amanda's ready for love. She's ready for love. She's ready to be impregnated.
Five or six times. Hope you got your stamina up.
Mm-hmm. And you're signing a prenup too. My daughter's not marrying either of you losers. Unless you sign a prenup.
You scrubs.
We don't need your money. Get lost. I need another martini. All right.
Debbie.
Yeah. Annie's parents are still grilling Steven about long distance. And Steve's like, I can't tell him I got apartments.
I got a helicopter.
I could live anywhere.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is fair. I feel like these, like, you know, meeting the parent things have been hard because, like, they're asking all of these questions that could potentially be giving away.
Yeah.
Very, you know, but I mean, like,
aren't they always giving it, like, when Steven is like, yeah, I got this operation and here, like, operation sounds like that's kind of a tell, right?
Yeah. Yeah. It's operation is definitely not like a normal mm-hmm. low-key kind yeah. of word.
Yeah, you I have feel a like big soon, operation.
I feel like as soon as they're discussing, like, I don't know which family they were talking to, but they were talking about, like, their jobs and, like, how they got started in their industries. And it's like, that was just so obvious. Like, I thought which one was mm-hmm. the millionaire and which one wasn't. And it seemed like the families all figured it out except for Amber's family. Mm-hmm. So
yeah. Like, yeah, I'm a construction worker. Like, yeah, you work on
some start off on
projects.
Like these small sites. And yeah. Like, okay, yeah. I don't know. It's
yeah.
Like, okay. I just felt like it was very obvious.
Well, but. Not to Ivan. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So then one last part of the interview process came where we got Whitney's dad, Tony, has one more question for Steven.
You guys sex strippers?
You okay? First of all, we yada yada'd over one of the other things that Tony said, where why, like, what's special about your daughter or whatever?
Yeah,
where Tony says, "Oh, just like you, her hormones are aging."
Yeah,
like what, sir? Excuse me, but I was very confused by this. Like, Tony is hammered.
Is this a question?
You guys sex strippers?
Do you guys sex strippers?
Okay, so he starts off this conversation by asking them if they've gone and checked out the nightlife
right
around there. And then he says, "You guys sex strippers?" And
yeah.
I'm like, okay, is he asking them if they are sex strippers, or is he asking them if they've...
I didn't even think about that. I mean, they do often, like, take their shirts off in slow motion. Yeah. I feel like that's part of, like, being a sex stripper, no?
And maybe one of them has, you know, made a lucrative business out of the sex stripping,
mm-hmm.
and the other one has not.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, Tony is on another level where he's made sex a verb.
You guys sex strippers?
Sex strippers?
It kind of sounds like he's like asking for, like, well, I'm in town the rest of the night. You know, you gotta point me in the right direction.
Yeah, the sex strippers,
mm-hmm.
as everyone calls them. You know, the sex strippers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Why would you say that in front of everyone?
In front of all the viewers of Joe Millionaire.
Oh boy!
And they just said, like, no. They were just like laughing and said no.
Mm-hmm.
Oh good, you passed the test. What was the test?
It was my daughter. If you did, she would do downstairs. You know the thing.
And you know about it. You definitely know what I'm talking about.
On May 10th, Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes is coming to IMAX and theaters everywhere.
What a wonderful day!
This summer, one movie event will reign.
It is our time.
They stole my village.
I know where they're taking your clan.
Bend for your king.
Never.
Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Only in theaters May 10th. Tickets on sale now. Rated PG-13. Some material may be inappropriate for children under 13.
Jenny, they may have forgotten about, there's an elimination still to come.
Oh my goodness.
We still have an elimination. Somebody, after all that, now you met the parents, somebody still has to go home.
They always time this perfectly where, the next morning, everyone's mm-hmm. hungover because, you know, the wine was flowing.
What we do.
And Amanda and Carolyn are like wondering if there's going to be an elimination. And just perfect timing. That bell rings. Oh, ladies.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Okay. Time to look at the ugly paintings once again. And admire the paintings. And
with
now
the glasses of bourbon or scotch or whatever they're drinking mm-hmm. that they leave behind.
Hair of the dog. Right. So.
Yeah. Kurt always seems so rough during this part of the episode where they do the elimination and they talk in the paintings room. And my theory is, like, he's hungover and engaged in something to help curb the hangover.
Interesting.
I don't know what the legal situation is in the state of Georgia,
mm-hmm.
but I'm just, Kurt, like, he barely had his eyes open.
It was a rough night. It was a rough night with Tony.
He was struggling through this whole conversation. And maybe he just didn't want to open his eyes because he didn't want to look at the scary paintings of the women.
Kurt, what happened to that stamina?
You said you were a thoroughbred.
You said you were a thoroughbred. Okay. Kurt did not get a sense of who Carolyn was last night.
Yeah. He's like, I don't, besides a gut feeling, I don't know who she is. Like,
I just don't know. She's got like a kid and a friend and a husband. But other than that, I just don't know anything.
Yeah. Very understandable. I don't know anything either.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay.
And I'm telling you, this is the disadvantage where, like, I knew Carolyn wasn't going anywhere, but it was a real shot to her chances here when, you know, Kurt got to meet Amanda's kind of crazy, but awesome family, very fun, very outgoing. Mm-hmm. And the very thing that Kurt has been stressed out about with this, you know, situation with Carolyn is not getting a sense of what the life would look like outside of here. And I don't think he got any information. Right. So like, yeah, it's not great.
Mm-hmm. Right. And that it doesn't help that Caro's loved one came in and then was more like trying to like pin down Kurt on a commitment.
Yeah. Or try and get Steven's number.
Yes. In case he's feeling froggy. All right. Yeah. Steven had a one-on-one with Annie's dad. I still think that Annie is the prohibitive favorite for Steven to pick at the end of this. Do you feel like that mom and dad coming in and being kind of buzzkills may have hurt those chances?
Probably not enough to like really make a huge difference, because now we, you know, especially with Brianna going, like, Annie is still very much a front runner with maybe like Calla starting to like pick up a little bit of steam, and then Amber, I guess. I think
Calla is more of a Kurt person.
Well, I think she is, but I think also she's looking at the board.
Yeah.
And is maybe seeing, you know, where she stands in that queue. But I think that the thing with Steven and Annie is that, like, she is like a city girl, and I think that he's like very intrigued by that. And, you know, we see him talk about this with Brianna later, that like, she's very much like the kinds of girls that he's dated, and like, he's looking for something different. And I feel like that's very much who he's pointing to with Annie, because all of the conversation with Annie's dad was about like, oh, like, how's this going to work? Like, Annie's in New York. And so while they were definitely not the most fun family, I don't know that anything that was said was enough to like kill Annie's chances. Here.
Okay. So Annie's looking still pretty good to Steven. Calla, you know, they sort of were like, yeah, Calla was fun last night, but she's still like, come on. Who are we picking her?
She's taking too long.
The Calla code.
That Calla code.
Too hard to untangle.
Too much time to crack.
Okay. Yeah. Brianna is trending down.
Yeah.
This was so obvious that this was going in this direction for weeks that they strung Brianna along. It was just like, we want to keep her, but it's her self-confidence that's keeping her down.
And if anything, it's like after seeing how she was with her family, and they're like, oh, it seems like she's not even like confident in front of her family. It's just like, okay, well, maybe that points to like what we were saying earlier in the show. Like, maybe there's a reason that she, you know, has been struggling with some of these situations, and this is not a very natural environment for her. And like, if you like her and feel a good connection with her, I don't think you should be really faulting her for having this kind of demeanor when the people around her are always kind of like,
yeah,
like, kind of dogging her. So
I don't think they really liked her. I think that they just like felt that they knew she was sad from when she got so hammered on the camping trip. And then they didn't want to like then kick her while she was down. And they tried to like build her back up. But then they're like, ah, this is going nowhere.
Yeah, I think there was a point that Steven did like her and that
sure, like the just, first week.
Yeah, like, yeah. And then it just kind of there. He had too many conversations where he wasn't getting the fun from her anymore. Well, and so
he really gets on his high horse at the end of the episode. We could talk about that when we get there. OK,
yeah.
Amber, they're feeling pretty good about Amber. She's probably maybe the second best contender for Steven at this point.
Which, again, I thought earlier in the episode that Amber was going.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I wasn't shocked that Brianna was going to go. But, like, because that had been telegraphed for so long. But I just felt like this episode, it was kind of like the Suzanne from last episode where, like, we got a shot up in content from Suzanne last week. And then I just felt like we got the shot up of the content from Amber, but I guess that's because she's more of a contender than I thought. I don't know.
Jenny, I have a question about the process here. So like Martin comes in, he's like, all right, let's go. Buck up, guys. Come on. That's chin. Like, it's time. Let's go. But Martin is the one that like is telling everybody the thing. It seems like the guys like didn't really have a decision yet. It's like, they have to give him the decision.
Yeah, like, do they hand him, like, a little card or something before? Yeah. And also another thing about the process was at the beginning, Martin was like, okay, you know how this works. Like, if I call your name out, you'll be spending another week at the manor. That is actually not always how it works. Mm-hmm. If you call their name, sometimes you say, for richer or poorer, like, your time at the...
For richer or poorer.
Like, your time at the manor has ended. It's like, sometimes... it's not the last person that gets called. Sometimes he calls your name halfway through and then he sends you home. Like it's,
Jenny,
why is he saying
don't it's always ask. Like,
Martin, I'm just trying to understand. Okay. You told them they know how it works, but I don't think they know how it works.
Nobody knows how it works. Okay. We're going to go through Whitney. You stay at the manor for another week.
And they said, please remember you're dating Whitney, not Tony.
Not Tony, okay? Just remember that.
You guys sex strippers?
You're sex strippers. I still want to know if it's, are you sex strippers or are you...
I'm pretty confident.
I know.
He's asking if the guys are sexing strippers.
Sexing strippers. Like, I can't... Who says that?
Yeah.
Tony.
Yeah, pretty sure you're not allowed to do that either.
Yeah, I think that's part of like the deal. Like what you do outside of
I think
of
that's
the
a different
club.
Job then.
Yeah.
Are so.
You sex stripper? Sir, like somebody look out for Tony. Like what is he doing?
Okay. Annie. All right, you get to stay too. Another week at the manor for you. Okay? Carolyn, another week at the manor. Amber sees who she is. She sees through Caro. Like, Amber, you know, not for anything. Like, you're more in the Steven category. Like, yeah. No, don't worry about Caro.
But that's what I'm saying. It's like, when you're even getting content from Amber, who's not in direct competition with Carolyn about not liking Carolyn and not knowing why she's there, it's like, eh.
Yeah.
I think there's issue here.
Amanda, the gentleman would like you to stay for another week at the manor. In this pigsty, my daughter should be in a better place than this.
She's worth over this, $10 million.
Lakeshore Manor, this is like my guest house. Martin, you're the worst butler I've ever seen.
Where'd you get this outfit?
It's huge. You're swimming in it.
It's not even a modern butler.
Come see my tailor. Okay. Amber, And then sometimes like the guys just like jump in.
Yeah. I don't understand these ceremonies and what the format always changes. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it's the last person called. Sometimes the guys say get this, something.
Like interject.
Yeah.
They add commentary.
They freestyle it, I guess.
So Steven tells Amber, you know, they instantly they had a they could tell how much what the family cared about her. It's like, okay, sure, okay. Whatever. Yeah. Gentlemen would like to continue to get to know you. Okay. So then we get down to Brianna and Calla. I thought maybe we might get a you both have to leave. It was weird. One time they just kicked off three women.
I know. And then since then, it's just been one. Yeah. I don't know. I guess maybe they just had to narrow it down because they could only mathematically get to know so many people. I don't know.
Mm-hmm. But it was wild. Like, okay, I understand. Like, okay, you start and it's like, oh, let's get rid of seven. Let's get rid of five. Get rid of three. It was like they were getting rid of one at a time, one at a time. They had like one episode where two people left and then it was one at a time. And then 1 week was just three. Then one at a time.
Yeah, they could really like tighten this up a little bit for us, you know. Yeah.
But hey, it's up to Steven and Kurt.
Yeah.
All right, Brianna, she gets kicked out. The guys want to see more personality from Calla. But you know, the Brianna thing was like Steven was like, you know, it's just like that I've grown so much and she hasn't grown with me. Like, come on, Steven. Has Steven grown that much? Have you noticed a big change in Steven since the first week?
Well, he certainly wasn't growing in the pool.
Brianna hasn't evolved in the Joe Millionaire house like the other women.
Yeah. How dare she not?
She just reminds me of girls from my town. And that's not what I want. That hasn't worked for me yet.
I felt like that was so insulting. Like
it really was. It really was. It's
like, oh, you're just a little country bumpkin. Like I'm moving on to bigger and better things in the city. Like,
yeah.
Steven, stop.
Yeah, go put a dead fish on his door. Yeah. After that,
a whole bucket of them.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Nobody gets to eat at this house anyway. It'll be appreciated. Okay. So Brianna, she leaves in the rain.
Martin seemed actually everyone. Okay. Here's the thing. This is how you know people are liked. The way that Brianna left, everyone seemed very sad. All the girls wished her well.
Yeah.
And then Martin helps her into the limo or whatever car it was. And he's like, we'll miss your smile.
Oh,
it's absolutely delightful. And we know that Brianna and Martin had a special bond. So I got
I forgot about that.
I was glad we got a moment between the two of them. So,
Yeah. So, all right, Brianna has to go. And then we have to get hold on. We have an announcement. Okay. We bring everybody back in. This is unprecedented, Jenny.
Yeah. The bell is rung after someone got eliminated. We have never seen this.
Yes. Okay.
And as they say in my country, it's about to get real.
Do they say that?
I mean, at this point, they're saying all sorts of things in this country that I didn't know they said.
Yeah.
I mean, I didn't know it was like a trademark.
I think they say that in my country, too.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think mine as well.
I think they've said that in my country for like a long time. Yeah. Yeah.
They've been saying it
like even in the 90s, like there were people that like got picked to live in a house and have their lives taped.
Yeah.
Things were about to get real.
I mean, do you think that he's trying to co-opt this? This is not even the same network. Is he trying to like get around this? It's like,
Yeah. Okay. So things are going to get real. Because we're going to meet the families of the guys next week.
And they're traveling to their hometown.
Hometowns. So now,
which again, I'm like, Okay.
Yeah.
They're figuring this out. Like, if they're going.
Are they meeting on like a neutral site?
That's what I was wondering. Cause I was like, if they're going to meet like the families and stuff, like, are they going to. Cause I know that sometimes on The Bachelor, like, sometimes. Oh, my power just flickered. Sorry. I know that sometimes like on The Bachelor, like the family meetings will be like at like some random mm-hmm. person's house. Like they mm-hmm. don't actually do it at their family's real house. So I'm wondering if maybe, I don't know, like that would make sense to like take them to a random shooting spot so they don't see like how much money they have.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So next week can be a big episode.
What will mommy and daddy think when they meet all these lovely ladies?
There's nothing I hate more than the earnest use of mommy and daddy.
What about the H word? The H and word, the M word, or the D word? Yeah.
Get it all out of here. Froggy, horny, mommy and daddy. Stop that.
What will mommy and daddy think when they meet all these lovely ladies?
What will mommy and daddy think?
Mommy and daddy, do you know your sons are dating 6 women?
And did you know that they're dating the same women as another gentleman?
Mm-hmm. And they call themselves brother husbands.
You guys, sex strippers?
No, we're just brother husbands.
Just brother
Not
husbands.
Sex strippers. Just brother husbands.
Yeah, they didn't have to have a bathroom meeting. Okay.
Thank God.
Yeah. Okay. Do you think that they explained to Debbie what avocado means?
She probably would have been like, does that help your stamina? Are you eating lots of avocado?
Yeah. I can't eat avocado. It's too much. My doctor said it'll cut it. It's too fatty. All right. I hope Debbie comes back.
I hope so too. I hope we get the ending of the story is Kurt and Amanda.
Kurt's
are
gonna
together.
Die. Yeah. In this house, now we stand Kurt and Amanda. Because we need to have Debbie.
Yeah.
Okay.
And Whitney's parents are invited to the wedding just
yes,
for the party.
Sure, sure. I think Whitney is going to be left out here. I don't think, I mean, she like took Kurt out on the date last week, but doesn't seem like, it seems like that at best she's in third position with Kurt.
Yeah, I think she misplayed, I guess we didn't really say this, but I think she kind of misplayed the golden coin because I think that since that happened, Steven's kind of like, disregarded her a little bit too because she's like, well, he's like, well, she's into Kurt more. And I mean, with Brianna now leaving, I feel like that opens like a spot for Whitney with Steven, but I kind of feel like she maybe ruined her shot there.
Right. So yeah, I think that if we're going to, I don't know how many episodes are left or after tonight, how many weeks are left?
Okay,
I think it's, I think it's week 7. I think it's going to go 10 weeks, Sam. So there's 3 more nights of Joe Millionaire. And then, so next week, we're going to, Cal is going to, so like, look, I'm going to give you the spoilers. Okay. Not that I know them, but I'm just going to tell you. Okay. So next week, Cala is going to go, right?
You think?
Yeah. I mean, they telegraph, everything.
I still think there's a chance Amber goes soon too, but.
Well, I just think that Amber is at least in like the top 3 of Steven. And so maybe the top 2. And so it depends what Steven's mom thinks about Amber. But so I think it's going to be Calla. Then the next week, I think it might be Whitney because that Whitney is sort of like she's in the top 3 maybe of both guys, but not in the top 2 of either guy.
Right. And then they're going to have to narrow down there. Yeah.
So I think they'll get it down to that Steven will have to pick between Annie and Amber. And then Kurt will have to pick between
Carolyn and Amanda.
So I think that's those are going to be the last 4.
Yeah. I think that sounds. Yeah. I think the fact that Whitney and Calla kind of ended up being spread between the two of them kind of weakens the chances of them ending up as final twos.
Yeah. Okay. We cracked the Cali code here. Yeah. There you go.
Got it.
Joe Millionaire. All right. Jenny, anything else? You want to talk about Martin the Butler on social media?
Oh my gosh. What a gem.
Mm-hmm.
If you have not seen this on Instagram is where I saw it. Martin the Butler did the drop it challenge, which if you're not familiar with that, just go on TikTok and search drop it challenge.
I'm How's sure your you can stamina? Find- can you drop it? If you drop it, can you pick it back up? Mm-hmm.
I'd love to see Debbie drop it.
Mm-hmm. One time I dropped it, my chiropractor had to help me get it back.
I don't even know what this character has become. It's so funny to me.
So, yeah, Martin's on top of all the memes.
Yeah, he's meme king. Like,
mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So, yeah, he's, a social media influencer and darling.
Mm-hmm.
So he's doing it all.
Yeah, the social media tonight was popping as usual.
Mm-hmm.
All the big stars tweeting about it.
Yeah.
Heidi Montag was at it again. Tamar Braxton.
Yeah. Tamar Braxton.
Second time.
Yes. She probably have a big viewing party when Todrick Hall gets out of the Celebrity Brother House. I'll probably come over.
Oh my goodness.
Mm-hmm. So, all right. Maybe Joe Millionaire will get renewed for another season, Jenny.
I mean, I have no idea, like, how the ratings have been and what plays into these sorts of decisions, but
mm-hmm.
I mean, we've seen the whole thing through. Like, they're finishing out the season.
Yeah.
I think there are worse shows on TV.
Yeah. So Amanda on social media tweeted out the video of her mom.
You guys got good stamina? You guys got good stamina?
She tweeted, "I die," laughing emoji, hashtag Joe Millionaire. Where is mom on social media? Where is Debbie?
I don't know. I was trying to find Tony too.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Okay.
But
then should we check the iTunes reviews? Because I got to see on Apple Podcasts, are people like, this is like when I'm the parent and I'm like Annie's dad and I'm going to so what are your intentions with my podcast? Are you going to give it good ratings or not?
Yeah.
You guys sex strippers or no?
And did you know that you have to rate it every week so that we continue?
Mm-hmm. You know, I'm worth more than 10 million ratings. We have more than 10 million. You think we need your ratings? That's what Debbie's saying. Okay. All right. Rob is a podcast. Robiswebsite.com/subscribe. Click that Apple Podcast link to leave us a rating and review. It's very easy to do on your phone. I was rating all the podcasts the other day.
Oh, wow.
So easy. I put in 5 stars. Okay. All right. Okay. That's most helpful. Most recent. Let me look. Okay. All right. Jenny, I'm seeing no reviews since February 12th. Today is February 17th. Let's see.
Okay.
Oh,
there's some that have come since
in Canada. Last.
Well, I'm on like Chartable, which shows all of the I don't know if they're what country they're from.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Oh, all right. This is a nice one.
Yes.
So Millie Gang with a avocado and I think it's lettuce.
Yes.
So maybe for the salad. Love RHAP. So glad I found it when I did, and I'm living for this Joe Millionaire coverage by Rob and Jenny. The rapport between them is so dynamic, and it's very entertaining to listen to. They really make a meal out of scraps. The show.
That's what we do.
Thank you for continuing the coverage for the Millie Gang.
Mm-hmm.
And even though you thought it'd be a one-off, and as they say in my country, if you're going to drink wine before noon, put it in a teacup.
Yes. Okay. That's good. Okay. I see one from Kalo816. The Joe Millionaire Podcast never disappoints. Keep up the great work, Robin, Jenny. Watermelon emoji, champagne emoji.
Yes.
Yes. Okay. And this is one from LRK73, Joe Mill. Just FYI, Kathy Hilton has a real butler. He was on the season of Real Housewives, but in this house, I stand Martin. Okay.
Wow. Okay. We also stand Martin.
Yes. I guess we asked, does anybody have a butler? So Kathy Hilton has a butler.
Okay.
You think I don't have a butler?
Yeah.
All right. RobIsWebsite.com/subscribe and click the link to go to Apple Podcasts. You could do it on your phone. It's very, I'm not kidding. I'll cancel the podcast before next week. You think I won't? I will.
I can see his face right now, guys. You can't. He's serious.
Yeah.
And I'm worried, okay?
Yeah. So
we've come this far. Please, I need Rob to join me for the rest of this. Please get the reviews in.
Yeah.
I'm scared.
You think this podcast is uncancelable?
Is not.
Yeah.
Oh boy.
All right.
I'm going to have to become a sex stripper.
You guys sex strippers?
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, gosh.
Jenny, where can people hear more of what you're up to?
You can follow me on Twitter at Jenny Autumn. Mm-hmm. And like we mentioned earlier, recorded The Slop. So if you're a patron of RHAP, check that out with you, me, and Puya. That was a really good time. Yes. And I'm just going to see the rest of the Celebrity Big Brother season through. And before I know it, Big Brother Canada.
Okay.
It's coming. So really no off season between the Big Brother season. So I'm getting ready to be covering some of that. And besides that, just living the dream.
For sure.
Of course. I just say it so I can believe it. Okay.
Yes. Okay. That's look, if Brianna had that kind of encouragement, she'd be in a different place right now. She'd be in Lakeshore Manor.
True. That's why I said she's like me like 5 years ago.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. She, you've got like, unlike Brianna, you've grown.
Yeah. I've grown through this experience of podcasting this show.
You've grown. Okay. Well, we have so much going on Rob is a Podcast. In addition to Joe Millionaire, we're talking about Celebrity Big Brother, The Amazing Race I talked about today, Survivor, 90 Day Fiance, and much more. It's all at robinswebsite.com. You get it when you subscribe. robinswebsite.com/subscribe. Let's see some ratings and reviews before next week's show. Mm-hmm. Thank you so much for listening to these insane podcasts. They are so much fun to get together. Jenny, great job once again.
Thank you.
Okay.
I laugh the entirety of these podcasts. They're a bright light in my life.
This was a wild one.
Yeah, this was.
I can only hope that next week we come even close to the absurdity when we visit with Mommy and Daddy for Kurt and Steven next time on Joe Millionaire. Take care, everybody. Have a good one. Bye.
This February on Pluto TV, we're putting the spotlight on iconic black talent. Watch your favorite movies like Top 5, 48 Hours, and More Than a Game. And drop in to binge black TV classics like The Bernie Mac Show and Moesha. Pluto TV has hundreds of channels and thousands more movies and TV shows all for free. So download the Pluto TV app on your favorite streaming device and start watching today. Pluto TV, drop in, watch free.